Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, the Journal of Emotional Tech Hygiene. That was a podcast. That was that You Look Nice Today. Remember that?
I don't. I've never listened to a podcast before.
You never? I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And what a week this day has been. Trump just got out of the hospital as we're recording this. He's gonna be right as rain in about 15 minutes. He's gonna go out, do some couple holes of golf, ride a hang glider.
Pretty crazy. It's very crazy.
Do you think do you think he imagines himself as like some kind of super agent, super spy kind of thing? What do you think is in his head in terms of like who he thinks he is?
He thinks he's James Bond, Jesus Christ, Mickey Mantle, Joe Namath, and those types of guys.
Yeah.
All rolled into one. Deep down, he knows that he's a mess. And I guess ultimately that's what makes it so dangerous. What's really scary, though, is him tweeting. I don't know if I guess you saw the tweet.
Yeah,
Don't be afraid of COVID.
It's not so bad.
It's not so bad. Don't let it dominate your life, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, forget about the 25th, the 25th Amendment. I don't know how Twitter doesn't immediately suspend his account. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. That's the age old question. Like this is misinformation, deep misinformation, or hell, maybe it isn't deep misinformation. Maybe we all are being, or we have the wool pulled over our eyes, but I mean, I would argue that the Occam's razoring this thing down to its obvious conclusions is that this is a serious thing. He got extremely lucky because he got airlifted to a hospital where they put him, where they gave him steroids.
His luck remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Because part of this whole horrible discussion is that we don't even know what the truth is coming out of our own White House. So he could either be fine or be dead within 72 hours. Who knows?
Yeah, it's Schrodinger's president.
But to tweet as the leader of the free world, obvious disinformation, misinformation, disinformation, wrong information, fake news, whatever it is just insane. And like I said, I don't care who he is. If Twitter is supposedly trying to become the social company and do the right thing,
you got to
whack his account or mute it or whatever.
Well, no, the only way to do it is you whack it or you put him on suspension or whatever. And that's a whole different, that becomes a whole different ball of wax. That's some, like, he's got what, 89 million followers, right? So they can come and say, yeah.
Well, the problem is that the right is so crazy that Twitter is probably terrified to do it, especially during an election, because then, all the lunatics are going to suddenly say Twitter is tampering with an election.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It really is. It's like being in a movie, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think it's like being in a movie. I think what we're dealing with is what the rest of the world dealt with, like a Berlusconi kind of situation. You had like just a wacky president who's doing insane stuff, and the same thing. I don't want to diminish what happens in like Rwanda or Iraq, but if you're in a situation where like, okay, the president's going completely nuts, he's about to nuclear, he wants to bomb Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't care, but he's saying all this crazy stuff. Or there's a full bore, I don't know, genocide going on, or there's a full bore pogrom of some sort. We're dealing with that sort of situation. Obviously, it's not as physical, it's not as deeply physical as those things were, because this is all just online. And by dint of us all being plugged in 24/7, we're affected by it mentally. But I mean, you're going to go down the street and get your whatever, your takeout. You're going to be fine. And the vast majority of people are going to be okay, but there's going to be situations where somebody's not going to want to wear a mask and he's going to pull a gun. And
right. I mean, it's the thing is, normal, decent people are going to continue to be normal, decent people. Yeah. The problem is, with his crazy rhetoric, it just ramps up with each tweet, the absolute crazy, indecent people.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. That's the problem. I really think we've reached a tipping point, point of no return kind of thing with, you know, it's just, there are people just going to spin and lie and deny reality. And it just is what it is. And it's just a matter of what percentage of the population that number really is, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, look, it's like we're not in a situation like Rwanda. We're not in a situation like, I don't know, any sort of serious uprising, any sort of serious revolution. I don't think we ever will be. I think there's enough people who like to go sit on their couch and eat some nachos and watch TV that there's not the comfort level is right there. I mean, when the comfort level goes away, when we're all out of work for another, I don't know, 4 months or whatever, because of this guy. No, I mean, well, look, yeah, 4 months, whatever, because of this guy, we're going to be out of work for another 4 months. Then it's going to get rough. I mean, the crime is going up in New York. Homelessness is out of control.
Yeah, the eviction rate is going to be nuts. You know, defaulting on loans everywhere. You know, that the consumer stuff, of course, is going to trickle down to business, and, you know, small business and restaurants is going to continue to get hammered. So it's bad. It's bad. I don't know what the answer is. We got to just, I guess, ride it out and pray that Biden gets in there and we have, you know, saner people in charge and, you know, to clean up the damage.
So speaking of bad, you were in Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Got in? How was it?
Horrible. Horrible, scary, weird, to the point where, I'm not kidding, I deleted it from my phone. That's how much I disliked it.
And so what's
it,
the...
And it creeped me out.
I mean, what's the interface? What's the...
So you log in, and it's a list of what they call rooms. So you see the title of the room. And then you see a list of like the first 15 people in the room and then like plus 53 more. So you just log on and that's the interface. You scroll down and see these rooms. At any given point, I would say there's 3 to 5 of them. So the app seems to be pretty Spartan. At any given point, I saw a few, you know, I saw 100 people on the app.
Yeah.
Distributed through these rooms. And, you know, I don't want to get into it like too much or read too much into it. But basically, from what I could see, is that despite its reputation as this, you know, Mark Andreessen, white San Francisco VC kind of app, it's actually predominantly an ethnic app with lots of Black creatives and techies and startup people and Hispanic and all kinds of stuff, you know, which of course is fine, but that's 90% of the site. So it's like you have the Mark Andreessen room. Then you got like, okay. Then you got like,
go on,
and then you got all these other rooms, and you know, it just is what it is. You know, I mean, it just is what it is. The privacy implications of this place are a disaster, because you go into a room, so that's how the rooms are laid out. So then you click on a room and now you're in the room listening with your mic turned off by default. and whoever started the room controls who can speak.
Yeah.
So you can go into a room with 50 people and, you know, there's three people holding a discussion and 47 people. So you just go into a room and there are people who are, you know, in rooms all days and just leave this like radio or whatever in the background. And I guess, you know, there's supposed to be a certain amount of trust and privacy and expectations thereof. But I don't see why somebody wouldn't just record everything all day. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't see why this hasn't. Well, so this is an interesting question. I feel like I'm not a good programmer by any stretch of the imagination. But if I gave myself a good, weekend, I could probably code something up similar to this. I'm not. It's not the pieces are there. All the box, like all the, it's like a little black boxes. You can just connect together now. At this point.
Technically, it's
nothing special.
No, it's nothing special technically.
So why don't we already have 50 of these things just like exploding? I mean, clearly it's not important or interesting enough that anybody actually wants to clone this thing. When you had Instagram come out, you had 50 different phone.
I guess to a certain extent, even though the tech is simple, it's probably more expensive. Only because you're moving audio around in real time and all of that. So
At this point, it's basically that's super cheap.
As text, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's all the same stuff. Like this.
I found it incredibly weird. Definitely not my demo at all. And again, the whole thing just kind of creeped me out. I can't even like put my finger on it exactly. I mean, it's definitely weird that it's definitely, you know, an ethnic, they're marketing, they want ethnic audience.
But you think, is it a ghost town or is it like?
There's a lot of people signed up, I guess. I did like a search to see who was there and it's like the usual suspects, but just no one's doing anything. Like I said, you log on to the app at any given time and it's like five rooms.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know? So, again, I can't exactly put my finger on it, but it definitely, I don't know. It's just there's too many opportunities for bad things to happen there.
Yeah.
And pretty much for the same reason I don't listen to any podcast, any free time I have for audio, I'm listening to music. And, you know.
Well, I mean, I can understand kind of the draw. Like if I could sit there with, I don't know, William Gibson and I don't know, another one of my favorite guys and just run it as kind of a podcast. Like, this is my thing. You have to come in at a certain time to listen to it, or you can listen to a recording or whatever. I don't know what the shtick would be. I could understand kind of like the draw to a degree, but it sounds like it's something that's looking for an audience, and it's not finding that audience, or it's found that audience and it's not the audience that they're claiming.
It's all kind of all over the place. I mean, aside from that whole thing, I logged on the other day and it was like Jake Paul on the content economy.
Yeah.
You know, with 34 people in his room listening to Jake Paul, whatever.
Yeah, 34 people. You can get that. You can go down the street and you can go to 86th Street down here and start yelling at people. You'll get 34 people watching.
Yeah. And nobody's surreptitiously probably recording the whole thing, waiting for you to fuck up and say something stupid that then they'll, you know, whatever. Yeah, nothing with nothing is the ultimate review. It's a big nothing with nothing. Do not have any FOMO. You are missing out on nothing. I had the app for about 4 or 5 days just to check it out, and as I said, I actually deleted it off my
phone. Yeah.
So that was the big Clubhouse thing.
You're finally at the top of the heap. You're finally among the important the digerati with your Clubhouse
Calacanis sent me an invite hoping, you know, that I would be interested and he would instigate me into doing something there, but it wasn't even interesting enough for me to goof around. I went in, I started a few rooms like Talmudic study and startups, you know,
I did.
I took screenshots just for fun. I just like started rooms, named them, took a screenshot, then immediately deleted the room. But it was funny because if you start a new room, it just immediately goes to the top of the app.
Yeah.
And since there's nothing going on there, it could sit there for God knows how long. So I was like Torah study and HR, just ridiculous things like that, just to take screenshots of them at the top of the app. And that was the most enjoyment I got out of the whole thing.
All right.
Anyway, so that's that.
So police are stealing, are taking speaker data, right?
Yeah.
What do we see here? What happened?
Police can now request and are requesting, you know, at a much higher rate, obviously, your Amazon Alexa, Google Home kind of data.
So we're basically wiretapping ourselves, ultimately.
Yeah. Between that and Ring, and now you got the new Ring thing droning around your house.
Yeah, droning around the house. So right now, if I'm an early adopter, so right now I have multiple devices. If I were to say, hey, Siri, multiple devices would probably wake up. My phone just woke up, right? Then it knows if I'm leaving the house and when I'm coming back. So if you wanted to know when my whole family was leaving and coming back, you'd be able to do that. Cause I have cameras in the front and the back, different types of cameras too. So basically I'm giving up more to some faceless cloud authority than any other human being has ever given up in the history of privacy over the past, I don't know, whatever x tens of thousands of years of human
yes human well environment. I want to add a caveat, which might be a point of discussion, is Apple doesn't record any of your stuff, and Apple doesn't have the same data, doesn't do the same stuff that Google and Amazon do, if I believe. In fact, it was funny, I pointed out to my girl yesterday, we were driving in downtown Los Angeles, and Apple had a giant billboard up just plugging privacy.
Yeah.
Apple.com/privacy. So Apple, I guess, to a certain extent, is different than the other guys, but that doesn't matter because so many people have Alexas and Google and all that stuff. It's crazy. That thing was always crazy. I don't have any of those devices. I have the Apple stuff, but I don't have a HomePod. I use Bluetooth speakers. They're not connected, you know.
Yeah. I use it simply because it's useful around the house. I mean, it's like a clapper at this point for us. The fact that I can say like, okay, hey Alexa, turn off all lights is kind of a big deal because I mean, it's nice, like it's acceptable.
Oh, no question, question that they are beneficial and cool. I mean, it's Jetson Star Trek stuff for sure. It just sucks that we have, you know, all these issues tied onto it.
Yeah, no, I mean, then again, it can't get better if it's not listening, and if it's not listening, then they can't use it to wiretap you. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation.
Yeah. I mean, that was another reason I got rid of Clubhouse, quite frankly. Just even not using it. I don't like the whole mic on access.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, like I said, everybody's going to be naked on the internet for 15 minutes in the future. It's like, it's the Andy Warhol, it's a different Andy Warhol kind of situation.
Not me. I've never taken a naked selfie in my life. I've never sent a dick pic in my life. I mean, it's just not me, man.
Yeah, there's plenty of folks who have, unfortunately, and I think that's the answer. That's the trick. Privacy ultimately ends up being an entirely different animal in the future when your privacy is already compromised to a degree that's like crazy unconscionable. Who cares, right? So just put your dick all over the place and get into Clubhouse and talk about your sex life or whatever.
Yeah, but ultimately, despite all the intrusion by the tech companies and all of that, privacy to a certain extent is still a personal choice.
Yep.
I think I've mentioned before, I had an old girlfriend who had zero presence on the internet, literally zero. And she was cognizant of it and maintained it. And truthfully, even in the course of a relationship, which was over years, she never let me take a picture of her.
Yeah. I have a buddy who's like that. You can't find him on the internet. There's no pictures of him.
So they did something right, huh?
Yep. I think there's if you look for me, there are two or three other John Biggses out there. So I don't rank that high in terms of photos, but I do rank pretty high in terms of the search in general. So
there are two other Lauren Feldmans.
Yeah.
The poor Lauren Feldman, who used to work at the New York Times. He's some small business journalist. And then there's the Lauren Feldman, I believe, of, I don't know where he is, Arizona or Denver. And he's one of like the foremost artisan knife makers in the world. I'm not kidding.
We should get our doppelgangers on the show and we'll just talk to ourselves.
Let's do that.
I'd love to talk to this guy.
All right, I'm going to reach out to the knife guy.
Yeah, get the knife guy on. And there's another John Biggs who's actually pretty cool. Let's talk to our digital doppelganger, see what they have to say.
That would really be fun. This guy's interesting.
Yeah.
Some hippie cowboy Jew making like $5,000 knives.
All right, grab him for next show.
All right, I'll try to. I've never reached out to him.
And then I'll grab my, I have a really nice, nice older guy who lives in Baltimore who travels like to South America all the time. It's really nice. So he's my favorite. He's Bigsium. He's not at John Biggs. So. All right. This has been Tech Hygiene. We're about to get even more hygienic when we start meeting our doppelgangers. Tell us how we're doing. I want to know how we're doing at John Biggs. What was your Lauren?
No. At my Twitter handle,
yeah,
at John Biggs.
At John Biggs. All right. Tweet me and Lauren at John Biggs. We want to know what you think of the show. If it's hitting all the right special spots for you. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And we will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.